topics you care about by people you trust. This is The Clear Perspective, your healthcare cybersecurity, compliance, and privacy podcast. And now for the show.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kim Singletary. I'm the VP of Solution Marketing here at Clearwater, and I'm happy to be joined by Jeremy. Jeremy, do you want to introduce yourself and give a little bit of background?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Jeremy, senior consultant here at Clearwater. Prior to working in the commercial world, I have about 12 years experience in the DoD, working on various cyber missions, majority of those offensive cyber. As soon as I got out, it just made sense to hop straight into this world and the commercial side.
Well, I want to say thank you for your service, and we are so happy to have you on board. Today, we're going to be talking about a list that comes out. The new one for 2023 was the OWASP API Top 10 list. Now, this list has kind of gone through a lot of changes and, you know, the frequency that it gets published. But looking at this list compared to the last time they published, does anything stand out to you in terms of changes in the world? And did anything take you by surprise on what was on this list?
Yeah, absolutely. When we look at the 2019 list versus the 2023 list, the biggest thing that kind of really popped out was the loss of injection as a top 10 threat. Just because it's so common of an attack on almost every platform, not just APIs, the fact that it has fallen out of the top 10 indicates that there's new growing threats for the API realm that are unique to the API realm rather than global amongst cyber threats themselves.
You know, everybody talks about SQL injection, right? That's the injection you're talking about in that kind of layman's terms. There's tons of other API types of injections, but it's that category is what you're mentioning.
Yeah. The injection category in general is what I'm referring to. Most people look at injection as SQL injection, which you are 100% correct there. But there are tons of different types of injections that you can perform. OWASP usually does a umbrella term to cover all of those forms of injection.
You know, we focus in healthcare and health innovators. And looking at this list and knowing that market, is there any specific type of API security risks that you think are more prevalent to those who are working in the healthcare industry with very sensitive data of an EPHI that you may even have experienced yourself in being a consultant for them?
Yeah, when I look at this list, quite frankly, every one of these is an issue that I've come across at some point. But if I had to rack and stack them, I would definitely say your broken object level authorizations is a huge problem, as well as security misconfigurations and unsafe consumption of third-party APIs. Just because of the amount of data related to EPHI that you can use those vulnerability classes to get access to.
Can you explain a bit more about the broken objects? I mean, in it itself doesn't kind of explain the ramifications of this. Just go into a little bit more detail on what that means and how that can expose a healthcare app.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we're looking at object level authorization, it's an access control mechanism, usually implemented at the code level during the writing of the API. Every object will receive some sort of ID. For our example here, let's just say 4 single digits, right? 1 through 9. Each one of those objects is assigned one of those numbers. If that object level authorization is broken, then there's no checks after it to make sure that not only do I have the right object ID, that I'm allowed to view the object ID itself. So by manipulating traffic to the API, what we could actually do is gain access to other IDs that we're not supposed to have access to because they don't have any checks on our permissions. Does that make sense, Kim?
Yeah, so it's kind of like lateral movement within the API. Instead of this one object, I can now see all these other objects that I'm not supposed to have access to.
Exactly. When it comes down to APIs itself, this could allow us to, specifically within the medical field, allow us to gather information on other patients, on other clients that a company may be working with, doctors, nurses. I mean, the applications are endless with Bolus.
And that's, you know, a very interesting point because, you know, innovation is all about getting digital, right? And APIs are going to be the weak segments of that whole innovation going forward. There's one thing I want to bring up. In this new 2023 list, there were 3 new entries to this list. I'm just going to quickly read them off as unrestricted access to sensitive business flows, server-side request forgery, and unsafe consumption of APIs. I love the name of that last one, by the way. Can you just quickly describe like those three and why you thought they hit the new entries for the top 10 this year?
Absolutely. So when we come to the first one you brought up, unrestricted access to sensitive business flows, what is that? Well, to understand that, you kind of have to understand what an API is. So what does an API do for a business? It allows the integration of outside entities to interact with that application itself directly. When we have business flows, a lot of people don't really understand what that means. The way I look at it is these flows are what are unique to this business and allows them to operate. For example, you have a company that has an API that buys stock, right? Well, part of that flow of that business is to integrate logic that will allow them to digitally buy that stock online, right? So theoretically, someone could attack that and make a high demand item, buy it all at once, and then sell it at a higher price to scalp that ticket, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, I absolutely. And I think if you look at intellectual property, you know, a lot of people just think it's the records, it's the data. But in pharmaceuticals and in some other, you know, healthcare telemetry, the process of managing the business, of the distribution of the channels and things like that is the intellectual property. So this risk actually talks straight and directly to that flow and understanding that by looking at the API and getting access to it.
And as far as this particular item on the list, it is, in my opinion, the hardest one to test as well, because it's not written in stone. Different developers implement different ways of doing things, right? So when we look at these things, what we have to do is we have to actually understand what that function is doing. You can't just throw some stuff in it and hope it works. You need to understand exactly what's going on so you can formulate a plan to attack it. And that works the same way actual real-world malicious actors trying to attack these business flows.
Really curious about this unsafe consumption of APIs. What does that mean to you? It sounds like just a mess of things. And it's not very specific unless I'm missing the point on that one.
Yeah, and that's a real common thread with the top 10, right? We're not real specific. We bundle a lot of things together when we're talking about top 10s. But this one in particular seems to be extra vague. What we're saying here is a lot of times companies will take their homegrown API or their contracted API, whatever you want to call it, and then they will make it easier for third-party APIs to integrate with their homegrown API. When they do that, tend to toss safety to the side, security to the side a little bit to make it a little bit easier for these third parties to integrate with them. And what that does is by pushing security to the side just even a little bit, it kind of opens up holes for us to exploit.
That's a very interesting concept. So it's basically expediting things from an API to an API to maybe even a third API, so that in this connected ecosystem of healthcare data and exchange and services, you can get what you need to get. But ultimately, behind the scenes, there's a huge risk to that.
Yeah, exactly. Just because you believe that a third party is going to be the only person using your API, that doesn't make it true. When we look at these things from a pen tester perspective, we try to find every possible endpoint and we try to test every possible endpoint. And those endpoints include third-party API endpoints. Just because the third party is supposed to be using it, which it probably is, doesn't mean that I'm not going to use it as well.
Yeah, so it becomes an attack surface.
Exactly. Exactly.
Even though it's not necessarily a thing, right? It's software. It's sitting there. That's an interesting point. So, you know, obviously we're talking about healthcare innovators. They have all these challenges, right? They're developing fast. They are, you know, cloud native a lot of times, but they're always juggling. And we have so many customers that come from, you know, right out of incubation, small startup, just get their funding, to those who have a product and are trying to accelerate their go-to-market. In moving their product or solutions forward, they're always, you know, obviously trying to balance this cost containment, right? So from the services that you actually perform, how does a web app penetration test help them under these conditions? Or when would you recommend to do that? And is there any examples of you know, really saving them some risk exposure during that time frame at the right point in time, you know, before something got very critical for them?
When we're talking about when to test, that gets tricky. And it's definitely down to the client themselves. Each individual person is ready when they're ready. But I would definitely say if you have the opportunity, you should test at launch and then test yearly. Every small change that someone makes to a web app has the potential to open a hole. Every update, every patch you push, it has the opportunity to create a catastrophic error. Is it always going to? Absolutely not. These guys know what they're doing, but we all make mistakes. That's what I'm waiting on, is you to make one mistake. because that's really all we need. Really, you should probably test yearly just to do your once over. If you're not able to do that, then biannually if you can.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I think a lot of the prescriptive methods for the assessments, like whether it's HITRUST or PCI, or you know, they kind of go back to you definitely should do a third-party assessment, a pen test or a web app test, every time you do a major change. Defining major is different amongst all of those, and it's probably a conversation for another day. But Jeremy, I loved having you on today, and I really had this great conversation, and I hope everybody out there too learned something. Thanks for listening today. We're Clearwater. We're here to help healthcare companies stay secure, stay compliant, and be resilient.